Monster.
It's Wine. And this podcast may not be suitable for all ages.
The opinions we have in our podcast aren't necessarily the same of those of the Comic Bastards.
So blame us if things get too saucy.
Or too awesome.
Let's go! The night is in shambles.
Accurate.
This is the Monster and Wine Hour. I am Wine.
And I'm a fucking irritated monster.
Oh, we have technology problems afoot, ladies and gentlemen. Collars are heated.
Oh, yeah.
0 to 60 has been had.
Yeah.
And we're going to put that all behind us and deliver you a fantastic show.
Might as well explain to the people what the hell was going on. They might be curious. You never know.
Unless it's peel content. Back the curtain. What's your name? Monster?
Or you can call me Jason. Either one.
I get confused.
I understand. Clark Kent, Superman. Kal-El. So... basically, I use a tablet for our connection, and when we do the show, I just hook it up to the base station because it just stays charging, and I don't have to worry about, you know, how much it's draining during the show, right?
Right. I have the laptop plugged in myself.
So the base station's got all these connection ports, including a headphone jack. And that's usually what I plug into to do the show. But it wasn't recognizing the fucking headphones when I plugged it in tonight. And the audio was still coming out of the speakers. So I took it. I finally just said, all right, bitch. And I took it out of the base station, plugged the headphones into the tablet itself, and now it's working. But the base station was being a whore. Yeah, this has not been a problem until tonight. So
just all of a sudden, out of the blue.
And you know, you do go 0 to 60 when you have expectations for something to perform a certain way. And it has always proven that it has performed a certain way in the past. And then when it doesn't, that's what makes your pedal to the metal situation.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing... I mean, maybe the UPS... maybe UPS... like, back in the day... would get my blood boiling. Maybe the cable company... like, trying to talk to them. Any sort of, like, automated thing. But I feel you, man. Last Sunday... I was out in the field doing some video productioning, and I got a GoPro. My friend has a GoPro. Seen like many commercials on the GoPro. I've used the GoPro a few times, so this wasn't my first excursion with the GoPro. And one of the things about the GoPro is like, oh, you have the GoPro app and your GoPro has a Wi-Fi and you can connect to your GoPro, and using the GoPro app and the Wi-Fi, you can use your phone as the viewer. So you set up the GoPro, let's say, for example, in the car, and then you can kind of position it and kind of see what your frame looks like. Except all of a sudden... my GoPro is like, oh, yeah, you need to, like, re-sign in. And it was making me do, like, all this stuff. Like, I had to end up creating a new account because I was like, I already signed up. I don't remember what my password is. The whole part of this is you're supposed to be able to go professionally. Go forth.
Yeah.
You know, I kept imagining, like, the ongoing joke was, like, what if we're out there catching powder? What if we're out, we're out catching rays, and then we had to download the app, reconfigure, do all of this stuff that was just like, are you kidding me? And they changed stuff because I used to just be able to plug the camera in, and it would, I could go in there like it was a drive because I connected to USB, take the copy of the files that I wanted. But now it was like, no, you need that. Like, we want you to have the GoPro suite. And I'm like, this is why your stock has tanked, GoPro.
Yeah. Anytime something doesn't work the way it should, it's a 0 to 60 moment.
Oh.
And if you add on top of that a success rate every other time, and then suddenly it fucks up on you, it's 0 to 90. You're pushing that car, boy.
You just get so angry. And then I get really angry. It's the 90. I'm writing out. I've gotten back into the meditation. I take deep breaths. And I realize, I'm like perspective. Put some perspective on this. Relax. This is popular what people say. First world problems. Like, come on. Let's just. But it's still.
I got something to say about the expression "first world problems" when you're done.
Go by it by all means. I'm just saying we're not in like it's almost in a way a privilege to be having these issues.
I know that's where that stems from, but you gotta get crazy Jason right now on that. I use the expression. I get it. I use it in jest. However, Aaron, I can't help it that this is the life I have. These are the possessions in my life, the things that I use day to day. This is the society that big industry has cultivated. It's all smartphones, right? For example.
Right.
I mean, if you're lucky, you can still get a flip phone at some places. But by and large, society has made it so almost so that having a smartphone is an essential life accessory, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, I would say that definitely having the internet is a life access, like a necessity.
I mean, not just a necessity, but they make it so that you kind of have to have a cell phone nowadays, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, but you could get, yeah, it for an ease of comfort.
You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody without a cell phone.
Yes. Just because it's almost like a
safety thing. That is the goal of big business, to make sure that everyone has one in their pocket, and the companies that make them, you know, they let it your phone do all these different things as a convenience to you, the consumer. Right?
Right.
So they're essentially molding us expectation wise, right? Because they, big business, are saying that this is what we could provide for you. This is what our service is. You'll get used to using this as a part of your daily routine. It's something we provide. We're happy that you're using it. And then once they groom us to put that into our lives as part of our routine, we tend to get a little annoyed if the stuff that they've groomed us to use on a regular basis fails.
Oh, it's also they, because they're in the business of the big business, it's in their best interest. They sell us the ideal. We see the commercials where it's Alexa and she's doing all this stuff, or it's, hey, Siri, and you ask a question and it instantly comes back. And so You just, like, it's advertising. It's all advertising. So that you think that, oh, when I get the phone, when I get the GoPro, it's going to seamlessly integrate into my life. And it's going to be so easy to use. And anyone can use it. Anyone can figure out how to use it. Because it's going to be super easy. But what they don't show you is you get it. You're trying to figure it out. It doesn't work. You have to go on the internet. You have to Google it. You have to watch a YouTube tutorial or go to some string, like help thing. And then it's like, oh, you have to actually do all of this and this and this and this in order to do what you've been promised in the pastel and the cool music of the advertising.
I think we're getting sidetracked. I got sidetracked, quite frankly. My point is, I don't think people should feel guilty that they're complaining about the things that are a part of their daily lives.
It's not a matter of guilt. It's a matter of how. It's a matter of how much. Like, you can either start to feel How much do you want to linger in the, like, I'm angry from 0 to 60? When I get angry from 0 to 60, I don't want to feel that way anymore. So then I switch into, okay, let's de-escalate the situation now, because I'm really angry, and I know this is an irrational anger, and I really shouldn't feel this way. Why shouldn't I feel this way? Oh, let's be grateful for what I do have. That's what I'm saying. That's how I am. Other people, it fuels them.
Okay, partly guilty, and the other part being what you said. But I think we, to a certain extent, should feel entitled to bitch about something that we expect to work.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Something, yeah. I shell out a ton of dough for.
But at the same time,
I can't be expected to always calmly, rationally take in the problem and be like, you know what? It could be a lot worse. I could be begging for fucking hot dogs on the side of the street corner. I don't think that is fair to expect people to think that way whenever something goes wrong in their daily life that they've become accustomed to.
Yeah, I don't think that, I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying that's a coping mechanism. That's a way to not wallow in the anger and to just stay in the anger place. It's a way to just, like, release the steam and be like, okay.
But let's be truthful here. We use it to judge people. When we see a rich person complaining about a toy that he has not working or a car that he has that just broke down, we use, oh, this guy had his first world problems. It's still his problem. It's part of his daily routine. Like, he's accustomed to a certain lifestyle and expectations. You get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
We use it as a tool to judge people more often than not. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, sure, people do judge, but then at the same time, it's true. It's a truth of the world that we live in.
I understand. I use it jokingly, though, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Because if I complain, if I has a way better everyone.
Louis C.K. has a whole bit on this thing, and it's way funnier and just really just gets to the point.
All right, listen to that, and we'll just end the show here. Anything you want to talk about, Aaron?
Oh, man. Well, it's excitement. NBA playoffs are right around the corner. That's exciting. Let's see, what else? I'm watching Betty vs. Joan still. I find it it's fun. It's everything that I love. Every box checked off. True life, period piece. It's got great writing, well put together, intrigue. You're like, oh, man. Great performances. Jessica Lange, man. I mean, this show has almost made me want to go back and check out American Horror Story.
No.
That's...
I wouldn't recommend it.
Just for her performances.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. I said it made me consider it. I didn't say I was. Because I was like, no, I'm probably not. But that's one of the highest compliments that I can give to a performance. Susan Sarandon is also outstanding as Betty Davis. Catherine Zeta-Jones shows up as Olivia de Havilland, who is still alive. She's 100 years old. And I think sequel should be about the Olivia de Havilland, Joan Fontaine feud, because those two were sisters and their feud went deep. So I'm just throwing that out there. Yeah. All the Americans.
Good show.
You had some interesting theories.
Well, it's winding down, and I'm pondering how it's going to end.
How many more until it's ended?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's only 10 or so episodes per season, I think. Maybe a few more. Maybe 13. But I think they're on number 6. I think.
Hey, that sounds about right.
But
this isn't the... Is this the final season?
As far as I know.
Oh.
I believe it is.
I didn't know if it was one of... I get so confused now with these shows, how they have... You know, like Game of Thrones. They're like... we're going to end... They announce when they're going to end it. And so you know. And then they split things up and all that.
Oh, never mind. And just read... It's been renewed for 2 last seasons to end in 2018.
Oh, no. So what does this do to your theories?
It throws them out the fucking window. My theories were based on it ending this season.
I always had in my head that it was ending next season. And I don't know where I got that from. That's why when you were messaging me about all your, like, what, it's like winding down. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, you know, we've got a season. But then I was like, no, these theories of his are like, it's coming up.
I thought it was. Fuck. So there's one more season after the current one.
All right, you know, well.
Well, fuck it. I mean, now I'm torn because I was like, oh, I'm really sad. This is a good show. It's ending. I like these characters, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, all right, I've accepted it. Now it's time to start thinking about how this show will end in a satisfactory manner for me.
But it is.
So now I don't have to worry about that for another fucking year.
Yeah, but I think they are. If you have a show like this, like you said, 10 episodes a season. It's kind of, it's on the top of the downhill.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm on the ass end of my 30s. I'm looking towards the end. Yeah. I know. I don't know what I'm saying, but people understand what we mean.
Yeah.
It's on its way out the fucking door. It's creep. It's tiptoeing out.
Yes, there are a finite number of shows now. But it does. I think you're right, though. That was the funny thing. They're just setting it up.
Damn it. Well, shit. I hesitate to hype up a show that, and then have these theories about how I think it's going to end in case no one's caught on. But you know what? If you haven't started watching it yet, we gave you time. We warned you. So, I think Now, I'm not saying that this is how it has to end for me to be, you know, like maybe logically speaking, but I think the way it has to end for me to feel, whoa, that was satisfying. Somebody get me a cigarette. Is Stan is it Bowman? Is that right?
Beeman? That sounds right.
Stan Beeman. Beeman. The CIA next door neighbor. He's got to find out that Philip and what's her face are Russians. That's got to be kind of like the major reveal, because it feels like everything that they do on this show in terms of the little missions that Gabriel sends them on, that all, even though I know that that's the crux of why they're in America in the first place, it's very secondary to the actual relationships that they have with other people.
Yes, because it's a very good family drama because of the crux.
The missions that they go on, we just take it for granted because we understand that that's why they're there. But it's really the cat and mouse interplay of will he or not? Will he discover them or not? Will they be found out or not by all these important characters that they come into contact with throughout their daily lives? I think that that's the big meatballs. Like even the church people that Paige is tightly wound up with.
Yes.
I think them finding out would be a big deal, but not as big as Stan. That's like the ultimate kind of, God, just think, that's the ultimate betrayal.
Well, it's the same as Breaking Bad.
Sure.
With the dude.
And that's like when Hank found out.
Yeah.
Isn't his name Hank? Yeah, it's that's what we're waiting for. Like, just like you said with Breaking Bad, we take for granted that Heisenberg and Jesse are drug runners and they got all this kind of deep, dark secret that they're doing all this shit on the side, but it's really, everyone's just really waiting for someone close to them to find out. And the Americans is very much like that. And Stan, I believe, has been in it from the very first season.
Yeah, he was the very beginning.
Yeah, and they've really made it a point to focus on the relationship with Stan and this family and how he's gotten close to the kids, and particularly Henry. And even his son is now dating their daughter, Paige. It's just this whole, it's a family affair. Everything's mingled up here.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to be like a fucking bomb going off when this reveal like happens, which is what I hope happens, obviously.
I think it has to.
It's got to happen.
You don't know how. I mean, Stan's going to find out, but it could be. Is that what happened to Hank? Did Hank find out, but he could never tell anybody? Like, he ended up getting.
I think Hank made it like a mission to catch him. But I'm not sure if he went and told a bunch of people.
But it didn't end well for Hank, right?
So. No, he got smoked.
Because I'm thinking, it might not end well for Stan.
No, here's what I'm in my head. I'll tell you what I'm imagining right now. Stan finds out, and it's this very dramatic moment where, I don't know why, but in my head, he's turning around, and Philip's standing there with a gun pointed at him, and he's got, like, this...
Are they in the kitchen?
I don't know, but okay. But Phil is wearing all black and he's got black gloves on and he's holding a handgun. He's pointing at Stan, and Stan's got this.
Oh, face?
Holy shit! Reveal look on his face, and Philip's got this very like pained, emotional look on his face.
Oh, he would be breaking down.
Right.
If they're going on the current trajectory of Philip now.
That's what I'm getting at.
He'd be shaking.
because Phil's already he's already got a shaky foundation. So, and he's already having a hard time killing people that he doesn't even know, let alone somebody that he's gotten close to and has befriended. Like, this would break Phil.
I know. Oh. He was so mopey. He was so mopey after Omaha.
This would just break him. It would be such an emotional moment. Like, it would be so heavy. It's got to be Phil. It's got to be just the two of them, I think.
But I don't know if Phil... See, here's the X factor. Oh, what's her name?
Because I won't be satisfied if Phil pusses out and leaves Stan with this knowledge, and then they just try to flee or something.
What's the wife's name? Elizabeth?
Water. Yeah, I got so excited with this fan fiction.
I know. See, Elizabeth is... like stone cold blooded.
Yes.
Cuz the like whole series, she would pull the trigger
for him.
The whole series, you kind of see Philip, he goes on these missions, he does what he's supposed to, but he knows that he's living a great life. And they've done those flashbacks of Philip's childhood with like
that's a big focus.
Yeah, and like all the kind of how dreary it was and sort of all the stuff with him, and now he's living this life. He's got these two American kids. He has a cool car. Like, Philip doesn't hate being an American. But Elizabeth, she's cold-blooded.
She's a no-limit soldier.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that either Elizabeth takes out Stan because Philip just can't.
That would be great, too. Like, if she was there and he couldn't go through with it, and then she just cold-blooded shot his ass.
Right. Or is Elizabeth, is her faith going to get tested by this whole thing? You know what I mean? Like, is she going to kind of... Because I feel like that's kind of where the family drama is being set up, where Philip's going to kind of be on the side of, we leave the center and we just stay here in America and be Americans. And he's kind of got to try to like convince Elizabeth, like, oh, that's a good idea. But, you know, she's like hardcore. So he's... What if Philip becomes a double agent?
No.
Well, I'm just talking.
I can't imagine
that. Was just, I was shooting strictly from the hip. The first time I had ever, the thought had crossed my mind.
I think that Philip will be the focal point for the remainder of the series in terms of his character becoming more and more disillusioned with the center and his way of life. That's going to be, I think, a big part of the way the series is going to wrap up. And I don't know how, obviously, but I think it's going to play a huge part in his relationship with Elizabeth and obviously Stan. Like, something is going to break there, one or the other, or possibly both. But this is my thoughts. And I will not be satisfied if Stan kills either one of them, like in some sort of reveal. And he points a gun at him, and things get heated, words get exchanged, emotions run high. I won't be satisfied with that, because Stan, and it could be just the way that the show portrays him, but he doesn't strike me as a badass at all. He's a big old marshmallow in my eyes. But
yeah, but if you think of the first season, they made him out like he had done like hard, deep cover and like hate crime groups and stuff.
I've
like,
forgotten so much about
that.
I picture
Stan did like a couple of seasons of Sons of Anarchy.
Never crossed my mind, but that would be funny. But that's how it'll end. That'll satisfy me. Stan's got to go. And it's got to be very emotional, because they do have such a close relationship. It's got to be betrayal. Can you imagine?
Oh yeah. The Miller Lights they've shared.
Oh, yeah. You bet. I look forward to it. You know, big trailer dropped today.
What?
First official teaser trailer for Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Now, is this an official Star Wars, or...?
It is.
All right. When's it coming out?
Christmas, of course.
I can't Starring
Daisy Ridley, reprising her Rey role. Your homeboy... God, he's got such a unique name. Boyega. What's his name?
John Boyega?
John Boyega, yes. Of course, he's back as Finn. Homeboy is back as Kylo Ren.
Luke Skywalker.
Mark Hamill.
I don't know why I thought that we killed Kylo off.
No, he's this trilogy's Darth Vader. Don't get it twisted.
Oh.
So, it's a teaser. Obviously, you don't really know what's doing. The only thing that's really apparent from it is Luke is training Rey to be a Jedi, which is cool. And that you kind of gather that from the ending of The Force Awakens because she's on that island with him.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get that vibe, and you see a couple of cool scenes with her swinging her lightsaber in training and learning how to use the Force and stuff like that. And little BB-8, he's back too, rolling around. Beep, boop, boop. Millennium Falcon's back. Okay, I'm not sure who's piloting it, but there it is. Other than that, just some, you know, typical teaser stuff, really quick scenes flashing that you're just kind of like, oh my eyes, sensory overload. And it ends with Luke saying basically that this has to be the end of the Jedi, and nobody knows what that means or where his head's at while he's saying that, but that's why they call it a teaser, just enough to tickle your butthole with a feather. It's a nice looking trailer, but I guess you wouldn't expect nothing less from the Star Wars franchise and from Disney. I mean, come on, it's gonna look good.
It better,
that's right. And you know, I'm excited from the standpoint that I enjoyed The Force Awakens, so I really like Rey and I like Finn a lot as characters.
Yes, yes.
So
same here.
I'm happy to see more of them, and I'm really excited to see visually Rian Johnson's perspective.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Because, boy, that Brick movie, if you ain't seen Brick, and even Looper, wasn't a great movie, but it looked really good.
I liked it, though. Yeah.
It looked really good, and it had some cool ideas. So, J.J. was great for getting this ball back off the ground, or whatever the expression is, and it was a good-looking movie. But, yeah, I'm curious to see what this Rian Johnson fella has to do with it. I mean... he is big league now. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was yesterday, I believe, the Star Wars Celebration event in Orlando. So they revealed it then. And it's out on YouTube, folks, if you want to check it out.
Are they doing pre-sale tickets yet?
I heard there's a guy already in line in Wisconsin.
Unbelievable.
I'm just kidding. I made that up. But... It is believable, the way these nerds are.
Man.
Well. Somewhere a guy's already browsing sidewalk tents on the internet.
Gotta be ready. Doesn't he already have it?
Isn't he
just looking for accessories at this point?
Well, he tore it when he got prepared for Rogue One.
He got so excited.
Yeah, he was like, fuck, there's a big-ass hole in it. The weather here is very fickle.
So
and he's on REI.com because it kind of sounds like Ray and looks like it's a whole nerd thing.
Yeah,
I can't even go there.
He's like, I refuse to go to Dick's. I want to go to REI.
Dick's Sporting Goods. They're tops in Colorado, folks.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Colorado Rapids I can't call it a stadium. It's not a stadium. Dick's Sporting Goods Park is what they call it.
That's where the Rapids play?
Yeah.
Oh, the MLS team?
Yeah.
Oh. That's right.
It's a real humble pitch. It almost feels like you're sitting on bleachers watching your child play. It's got that kind of a vibe.
But are there... Does it get full?
Yeah, the fans do turn out, though. I'll tell you that.
Because that's what... I think that's what they... That's what their kind of aim is for. Because with DC United, they were playing for years at RFK. And that's like an old football stadium. I mean, I love RFK for football reasons and stuff, but it's not built for soccer, and it's one of those like big state kind of like bigger stadiums, so it doesn't really feel full. And then you go to like something like the StubHub Center to see the Galaxy play or any national team or whatever, and it is smaller, but it gives a better experience because it feels full.
Yeah, and I understand that the MLS is still on the come up, and there's some areas have more money than others, and some teams have been in the league a lot longer than others. And yeah. Colorado was one of those early teams, and this park is pretty old in terms of that being their home to play in. So, you know, the sport's going to keep growing. There's going to get more money. It's going to keep coming to it, and there's going to be that day where they renovate it, and boom, it's going to look swank-a-dank.
Well, wasn't the football stadium, wasn't that like a Sports Authority or something?
Yeah, Sports Authority Field or something.
Is it still Sports Authority Field?
It might be, but I know that it's on the way out because I know that deal expired or something.
And they're like not around anymore.
Yeah, that's why. So I don't know if there's a deal has been made yet on a new owner. But I'm sure it'll be something equally as embarrassing to say at first until you get used to it.
Oh, yeah. There's some weird ones. Like, I think the New Orleans Pelicans play at Smoothie King.
Right.
Like, arena. Like,
that's pretty tough. They should get, like, Wiener Schnitzel Arena.
Oh,
that
really?
Little fast food chain. That would be so funny. Yeah. Just a big curly pretzel on the side of this big ass dome or something.
Well, Dick's is pretty funny.
Yeah. Look, they don't even have to try on that one.
Yeah, it's just right there.
Dick's Sporting Goods Park. Everybody just yells it. You know, I thought we'd wrap this pig up with a few. I found some interesting questions.
Ooh.
They're called life-changing questions.
Oh, man.
Life-changing questions to ponder, to be exact. Now, I like this. So I thought we'd throw a few out there just to wrap this turkey up.
All right.
And for all you Wacky News fans out there, surprisingly, the Wacky News has either been, you know, really slow recently, or just quite frankly not that interesting. And yes, I'm the guy that filters that. If I see it and I'm just like, or this doesn't read well, it's more of a visual thing sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the Wacky News is just kind of the news now.
Yeah, and I was gonna say
the horrifying truth. Ow.
Don't you worry, it'll be back.
All right.
So you ready? I'll throw some questions at you.
All right. I think I might have caught the hiccups. Go ahead.
All right. It's just more entertainment for the listeners. Here are a few questions to ponder. Now, if you were going to die tomorrow. Now, okay, for the sake of this question, we'll say it's the start of your day. How about that? It's not now. It's not late night. If you're going to die tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
What would you do today?
Oh, it was the start of my day, and I'm going to die
tomorrow. You just woke up. It's early. And somebody's like, you're going to die tomorrow, by the way. Oh, shit, I got to do something.
I guess I will have to fly back east. I guess I'll fly back to Virginia, and I'll be on the phone and be like, Adam, Christine, you gotta drive down.
It's all like, God, really? Yeah, I'm going to die tomorrow.
Yeah, make travel arrangements. I'm doing the hard work. I'm spending 5 hours. Like 5 hours of my last 24 getting back here.
Yeah. I mean, you're welcome.
Yeah. Start driving.
Right.
Bring the dogs. Yeah. Good. And then good I want to go find puppies.
I just like cuddle them and rub their heads and stuff.
Oh, puppies.
You know, if you... As a side note, that's a good answer, by the way. Of course, who wouldn't want to put family first? Unless, you know, your family abused you as a child and then you grew your separate ways. Interesting thing about Instagram. If you like certain photos, mm-hmm. it will, on your photo feed... there's a search icon, right? A little magnifying glass. You touch that and it loads a bunch of photos that are just random, but they're based on photos that you've liked.
Oh, okay. So all right. Weird. Interesting.
If you looked at mine.
A lot of food.
98% are puppies. Almost 100% would just be dogs, cute little French bulldogs, pugs, and handicapped pets. Because I got a real soft spot for like little pets that are just struggling to get by, you know.
Man, but, I would not expect that. I thought it would have been really Asian and really like snack food oriented.
It's... a lot of dogs, and then like the other 2% is like bands and skateboarding.
Yeah, that's about right.
But boy, I've been obsessed with laying in bed just before I go to bed. You know, I'm all tucked in, as they say. And I'm just looking at puppies. Holy shit, what's wrong with me? Okay. Grown ass man. Okay. Ready for another question?
Mm-hmm.
If you had the opportunity to be different, what would you change about yourself?
I'd be taller.
And I imagine this could be kind of like in any aspect. Physically, emotionally, mentally, all that stuff. Taller.
I'd be taller and better at business.
I think I would like to be a little more extroverted.
Mm.
And a little less controlling. That would be nice.
Okay.
But then again, those things wouldn't just be for myself. I think other people would probably appreciate it too. Let's see here. If you could change one thing in the world, what would it be?
Oh, wow. If I could
change
one thing in the world.
Like, there are so many things I would change, but I think I'm going with the first thing that popped into my head.
The first thing that popped into my head was income inequality.
That's a good one. I would get rid of people's love of guns.
That's a fantastic one.
I don't understand the passion people have for guns.
There is a passion. I understand
the necessity to a certain extent, but the kind of frightening passion that some people have for weapons like that is alarming to me.
Yes.
Yeah, I would get rid of the love of guns. And that would be like for the fucking world, not just America. I know mm-hmm. we have a big problem with that here, but it would be every country.
Yeah, mine too. That's a great one.
Stop falling in love with guns, people. Okay. You know what the irony is? Just as a side note,
mm-hmm.
the irony of people having this passion and love of guns stems from this paranoid thought that someone's going to take them away from them.
Yes.
I think that's the horrible ironic element of that. It's like, they're not. Relax.
Mm-hmm.
But you're so paranoid and thinking that they are, it makes you practically want to put it next to your wife in bed at night to sleep with.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Next. Sorry?
No, I was just agreeing.
Yeah. Well, that one's not really an interesting one. It's kind of basic. What would you do if you found the wallet? This one's not that interesting, but I'll see what you say. What would you do if you found the wallet of your next door neighbor whom you hated?
I would give it back to them.
Yeah. I mean, I would too. Just because you don't like the person, you know what they say, kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
That's the same reason why I probably wouldn't get in a fight with somebody that talks shit to me on the street, you know?
Well, it's a golden rule. How would I, if my neighbor hated me and found my wallet, what would I want them to do?
Right. This almost feels like an Aaron question. If you could have any car you wanted, which car would you choose? Would it be practical or flashy?
Oh my gosh, no, guys. There's an update in the car.
Ooh, but just ignore that question and tell us what's going on with the car.
Oh,
car
all right. Update. All right. I've decided that my new car will be the Dodge Demon.
What?
Have you heard about the Dodge Demon? It's got like 800 horsepower. I did. Dodge Demon. It's got 800 horsepower. 800 horsepower.
I imagine bros in Santa Clarita are foaming at the mouth.
It's insane. I'm just joking. I'm not really getting the Dodge Demon. But yeah, that was like the big news this week was the Dodge Demon and how it's got like 840 horsepower. Okay.
I'm going to be that guy driving down the road at night. And that thing's going to come barreling down on me from behind with its brights on. And I'm going to start sobbing and pull over. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be like, just pass me.
But there's... So that's the Dodge Demon Challenger. And it's making all the news. But then I forget what the other one is. Because Dodge... Who's the other big... Like, is it Chevy? That has like the Chevy... Somebody's coming out. So Dodge is all like, yeah, 840 horsepower. It's blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, that's going to come out. And then some other company is going to announce that they're coming out with their car. And it's like going to drive the demon back to hell.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, it's some
swinging contest.
Oh, it is. It's some big muscle car that they're like, oh yeah, like this. They said with the Dodge Demon, just to keep put it into perspective. My 2003 Corolla has I think like 135 horsepower.
Yeah.
The Elantra Eco. Had 128 horsepower. And I was kind of like, man, that's going down in horsepower. But it was a turbo. And then the Mazda 3 has 155 horsepower. This Dodge Demon has 840 horsepower. Like, people are going to die in this car, Jason. It's got, like, have you, you've seen the Challenger, right? The big Dodge I actually think it's like as they go with like the trying to redo the Mustangs and stuff, like as those cars go, I always like the way the Challenger looked. It's like, I'm like, yeah, that's a muscle car. But it's heavy. Like, it's not some light car. When you put down the gas, that thing pops a wheelie.
Yeah, people have died in far inferior cars.
Oh, it's crazy. So, I just.
So, what about you? Like, what have you decided on a car?
I'm pretty sure. Oh, it's the Camaro Exorcist. It's got 1,000 horsepower. What a clever
fucking name.
The Camaro Exorcist might send the Dodge Demon right back to hell.
That's hilarious.
God, 1,000 horsepower.
I literally think boys and their toys.
Oh, that's what I was listening to NPR, and this woman who's big into cars and automotive and whatnot, she's like, it's kind of the last gasp for car enthusiasts because they see the automation vehicles just around the corner. And so for people who are like really into cars and really into muscle, it's kind of like we got to do it now because, you know, the future is just going to be this beep, beep, beep.
Did anyone else enjoy that sound? Oh, shit.
So I'm joking. I would never, like, what am I going to do? That was the thing. Yeah. They're like, well, like, all right, you have 1,000 horsepower, you're stuck on the 405.
If you had that car, Aaron, I would think you were the type of woman that would wear like black leather pants, and like if somebody looked at you wrong, you would like stick your tongue out in a flicking manner and like shake your boobs at them with your hands, like, yeah, motherfucker, like
my
that.
My God, you think I'm trashy?
No, like if you had that kind of a car, I said. So yeah, I would never imagine you is what I'm saying to suddenly drive the Demon or the Exorcist unless it was just for fucking fun for a day.
Yeah, I don't.
It's the opposite of practical.
It's funny because when I'm like reading about these cars and stuff, joking that I was gonna get one, I never actually pictured myself driving it. For some reason, I just thought that the seat would just automatically be too low. I just can't see over the top.
I'm not interested in people staring at me because of the car I'm driving. That's uncomfortable to me. Mm. I'm not interested in that kind of flash.
I don't know.
I don't think you ever said what car you were going to get, Aaron.
Oh.
You're getting distracted by horsepower.
It's still... I really hope that the Mazda 3 deal goes through. Yeah, it's gonna work out. I really like that car. It's so funny because when I was about the Elantra, everywhere I turned there were Elantras everywhere. I'm like, man, I've never noticed so many goddamn Elantras. And then after I had that Sunday when I did the test drive, and the Monday, like kind of that whole week where I was like excited because of the Mazda 3, I was looking around and I was like, man, I don't see any Mazda 3s on the road. And when you know it, after that initial week, all of a sudden, now everywhere I turn, I'm like, there's the new Mazda 3. There's the Mazda 3. There's the Mazda 3. And yeah, when I got on the freeway this morning going to work, there was the red. I'm not a red car person, but man, yeah, that red, my skin's too dark for a car that red.
Because
damn, that thing, it is a nice red color, but I was like, that's whoo, man. No,
yeah.
That's bait.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's hope she gets her Monster 3, huh?
Yeah. So I'm thinking.
You want to do one more and then we'll end it? Or yes, do you want to just end it?
No, one more. I like this.
Okay. All right. I like this one. If you could only see three people for the rest of your life, who would they be? I'm going to hit you with the hard one.
Three people.
And I don't take it personally because I know I didn't make the cut.
For the rest of my life.
100 and something episodes doesn't give you that kind of grandfathered in. What?
No, it doesn't, Jason.
Damn it, she heard me.
Three people. Well,
something's got to get hurt here.
I would have to say mom, dad, and brother.
Yeah, I figured you would go with that. Yeah. I answered it for you in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, gotta be. Yeah. Me too. We're in the same boat. All right. I guess that wasn't such a good question.
No, but I mean, well, but neither one of us have, well, I don't have like a significant other, so there wasn't that like,
Okay, I got a good one. This is a good one to end it in. Okay. It's a tough one. If you could say a sentence the whole world could hear, what would you say?
Ooh, I would need time. That's
That's your sentence? I would need time.
No, because I would have to write it and rewrite it.
Yeah, I know. This is a tough one.
It would be. And sadly, the sentence that I probably want the whole world to hear, I probably uttered to myself at some random moment. And it was just like, man, that's the sentence you would want to utter. Tough.
I'm torn between something slightly profound or something just super goofy and stupid. Like,
I would want it intellectually funny.
Like, if everyone was listening, I would say, but are you really listening?
No, I got it. I got what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
No, that was a good one. I didn't mean to say nope. I was just like,
it was instantly dismissed.
I didn't mean to instantly dismiss that. Yes. My apologies.
Dick in a box. Go ahead.
It's very close. I would say, hear ye, poop on a stick.
Yeah, why not? Somebody will laugh.
Yeah. Oh, I know three people who will. the three people that I would see the rest of my life, that would kill. In fact, right now, that has killed. Just for my audience of three, know that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm too cynical to think of like those serious things. Like, if I could only say one thing to the whole world,
like here, I have a dream.
I would say, love one another. And then someone would go, boo, shut up.
Well, I mean, Rodney King. Didn't Rodney King say, can't we all just get along?
He did. And he became a meme before we had memes.
Yeah. But,
which is bad because I'm sure it came from a genuine place.
It did. And you
got the fuck beat out of him.
Rodney was right, comma, can't we all just get along?
Yeah. And then he became like, pop culturally lampooned on every comedy show, and I was just like, I think he meant it, guys.
He did mean it.
I mean, they beat the shit out of him. It's not like he just came up with that one day.
Beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, what a video, folks. Look that up next to the Star Wars trailer if you're interested. Some of our listeners might be young. Anywho, another show, something out of nothing.
That's what we should have named this show. Something out of nothing.
Well, hold on a sec. Making a note here. That's the title episode.
We should start. We should start something out of nothing's volume. It'd be like volume one, volume two. It's just
I almost think we should change the name of the show from Monster Wide to something out of nothing.
or oh, something for nothing or something out of nothing.
Something from nothing, something out of nothing. We'll ponder it, people. This is our cliffhanger to you. What will they, won't they? If you see me walking the streets of Denver with a something from nothing t-shirt, ask me how it went.
Something from nothing sounds like a band that you love.
How dare you? They opened up for TBS last year. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, really? But yeah, I knew it.
It would be believable, right?
Yes. Oh, we need to remember that when I need a fake band name.
God, there's a lot of horrible band names out there.
I know, but that's like a good band. That's a good horrible band name.
Yeah. Dream Car.
That's a horrible, horrible band name.
Right, that's why I brought it up. Look that up if you're interested too, people. You can see Davey Havoc from AFI doing his best, as I told Aaron, 2007 rendition of Raul Julia from the Addams Family impersonation. I mean, he nails it, especially with that mustache. All right, so look, another one down the toilet. MonsterandWine@gmail.com. ChaChaChaTV.com for alternative entertainment memes. I like to just say that because it tickles your butthole with a feather. What could he possibly be talking about if I haven't checked it out by now? And, yeah. Until next week. Arrivederci.
Ciao.